Every believer has a voice, and it's the voice of victory.
My God has made a way for me.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and we're talking about the great God, the King of the universe, the Spirit of power. If the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, so the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, dwell in you, He will quicken or make alive your mortal body.
That's right.
Now, at closing yesterday, I brought up this many years ago, praying about all of this, and this brings up something else that I'll share with you right at this point. I was meditating about it and praying about it, and the way all this got started, I was praying about power and praying about the power of God, the power of the Spirit of God, searching for revelation concerning it and so forth. And then suddenly I had a very clear vision in the Spirit, and I saw it as plainly as I'm looking at you. I saw it. Now, the traditional thing, you know, from dust to dust and mm-hmm, all that, right. which is right. And you see someone's imagination of it, that it was just dust and it just suddenly formed. But what I saw was God holding this grayish, lifeless being by the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And He said, right in His face, "Man, be." In our likeness. So Jesus was involved in this.
Right.
Right then.
Yeah.
I saw it. And then the thing that was so precious to me was that so God created man, and God said, "Be in our likeness, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. God blessed it. God blessed and said, "Be fruitful." That's
the blessing.
Blessing was the first thing any human ear ever heard.
That's right.
Adam didn't hear that until God spoke it and he became alive. And he was identical to God. When God was holding him, they were exactly the same size.
Mm. Wow.
And so he spoke into his face and he became. And I saw his face do that and smile.
Hallelujah. First thing he saw.
And the, yeah, God was the first thing he saw in this beautiful place. And then God blessed him. Amen.
The Hebrew sages teach that when Adam and Eve, when Eve was made, that immediately Cain and Abel were immediate because be fruitful and multiply. Immediately Cain and Abel were born.
Praise God.
Within that same moment, that's when this happened. Now, you got to saying something there. Back to where we started yesterday, Genesis 1, in the beginning, Bereshit bara Elohim et, in Hebrew, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I just had a picture of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Darkness over a gray, lifeless body.
Yes.
And the Spirit did exactly what He did to Adam.
That's right. And darkness fell.
Yes, sir.
Darkness fell.
Yes.
It repeated itself.
Yep.
Darkness fell. It was darker, darker than the darkest night.
Well, the earthquake happened, and darkness happened. The earth was revolting about what just happened. The Creator had been killed by Lucifer. And now the Spirit came in and did exactly what you just saw.
Yes, He did.
With Jesus this time.
Yes, He did.
And that same Spirit now is in you as well. We've so underestimated ourselves. What if I told you that everything then that God creates has delegated authority, and it continues because He didn't rescind it? What if I told you that even the physical earth has delegated authority in itself, the God kind of power that was at creation? Let me show you Psalm 19. I'll read this to you real quick. Psalm 19, beginning with verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork.
Yes.
All right? Day unto day uttereth speech, and night showeth knowledge. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and the words, the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. I got something here that says that the earth has a voice because God spoke to it, and it responds, and it continues to respond. It's very interesting in the Hebrew when you read this passage, Psalm 19 in the Hebrew, that the earth has a voice. It literally has a speech, and the Word of God there says, the heavens declare the glory of El. is literally what it says right there. All right, so being a Word of Faith kind of guy, I got to have more than one verse on this thing. I can't just have one. Psalm 150. Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power.
Yes, it is.
So there it is again. Now we've got it again in the earth. In Hebrew, it says, praise Yah, praise El. Says, praise ye the Lord, praise God. So in Hebrew, it would say, praise Yah, praise El. Firmament is rakia. It means the whole entirety of this creation is praising God. I mean, the universe that you talked about yesterday and the expanse and how much was created in that first 24-hour period, it's all praising, continues to praise, continues to show glory. Then you go over here, and I'll show you, there's another Hebrew word there for power that we'll talk about later in the week. It's called Oz. It's an interesting word. Jeremiah 10, excuse me, Jeremiah 10, verse 12 says, for He had made the earth by His power, He has established the world by His wisdom, and has stretched out the heavens by His discretion.
Praise God.
So He did this by His discretion and by His power. So the power in these very first verses in Genesis is a word in Hebrew, koach, is what it is.
Yeah, in Jeremiah.
Strength and might.
In Numbers.
Numbers, yeah.
23:19. God is not a man that He should lie.
Yeah.
Neither the son of man that He should repent, hath He said He would, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and He hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He's blessed. I can't turn this thing around.
Once He said, be fruitful, we can't stop that. I mean, that's part of our DNA.
And when a person says, well, I'm not blessed.
Mm.
Well, I can tell you why. You never will be till you say you are.
That's right.
Yes.
Instead of going by the natural environment, I'm not blessed. That's like saying, I have no joy. You do if you're born again.
Sure.
Because it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. You never will unless you say it by faith. Because the joy of the Lord
is your strength.
Is my strength.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It is my strength,
yes.
But only when I exercise it.
And the very love of God's been shed abroad in my heart. You can't say, I just don't love people like that. Yes, you do, because that's who you are. It's part of your
DNA. You're capable of it.
You're capable of it.
Now, Greg, I said that short time before I met Gloria. I was very bitter and had a lot of depression. And then I said, I don't believe love is real. I didn't know the Bible said God is love. I'm sure I probably heard that in a Baptist Sunday school or something, but I didn't any of it stick to me. and if it is real, I am incapable of it. Now that part I had right. Mm. I was not capable of it. Mm. Jesus was not my Lord and Savior.
That's right.
But I met Gloria, fell in love with her the day I saw her.
Amen.
And I thought, boy, that messes that up. And I knew it, man, because the love of Gloria was shed abroad in my heart. And then years and years later, the Lord said, your wife is precious to me. I have given her to you. Amen. So God had that planned all along. When she was born in Center Point, Arkansas, in February of 1942, and I had been born in Lubbock, Texas, in December 1936, no way. I didn't know she was alive. She didn't know I was alive.
But there were angels that were guiding.
Yes, and God had all that planned.
Amen.
And he had to work that around, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But it came to pass.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Now, another thing that I want to bring up here. In that Seder meal.
Yes, sir.
In the 14th chapter of John. Now, all of us have heard that He is the Comforter. He brings comfort. But there's more to that word translated comfort. For one thing, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He actually said, I will not leave you as orphans.
Praise God.
Right.
Amen. But listen to this in the Classic Amplified. In the 14th chapter, the 12th verse, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he himself will be able to do the things that I do, and he will do greater things than these because I go to the Father. I myself will grant whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am, so that the Father may be glorified and extolled in through the Son. Yes, I will grant myself will do for you whatever you ask in my name as presenting all that I am. Now, verse 16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another comforter. Lord Jesus, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby that he may remain with you forever.
Praise God.
Now, Brother Hagin said, I depend on that standby. He said, when I had that old car, he said, I'd start up a hill and he said, it'd just groan and carry on. But he said, when I got my new Oldsmobile, it had a passing gear. And he said, I could start up the hill and if that wasn't enough, shove it on down and get the standby power.
Amen. Amen.
That just said it for me right there. The standby power is on the inside of it. And the advocate. I was privileged to minister to someone, long, long, long time friend. And talking about attorneys and so forth. And I referred to this. He is our advocate.
Yes, sir.
He is our counselor.
Yes.
He's our spiritual lawyer. And if you'll listen to him, he'll take up that role. But in order to do that, and there's times that I've prayed that way. I said, now, sir, you're my attorney, you're my lawyer, and you're also my wisdom in 1 Corinthians 1:30, James chapter 1. And you give me your wisdom liberally and don't find fault with me, because it's probably my fault I got in this thing in the first place.
That's right.
And I need a lawyer. I need an advocate. I need a standby, somebody to stand by and rise up within me and tell me what to do here. And I refer to this a lot because this is the way that came to pass. Back when a member of the United States Senate, and he was Charles Grassley, mm-hmm. but he was thrown a curve by somebody on his staff that was actually after Creflo. And, but he said, well, you can't just go after one. And so there was several of us, and we had to come up with all of them, a bunch of stuff. Anyway, and they put it in the paper that these ministries, it could be that they are guilty of inerrant. Oh, United States Senate. So, I needed a lawyer.
Yes, you did.
I really needed to know what to do. And we answered. They said Copeland didn't answer. Yes, we did. Every time. Because I had a good lawyer in the natural. But I still needed to go over his head. I didn't know how to stop this thing. And so, we answered them. They wanted all this information. We said, we answered them. Our answer was no. You're not going to get it. It's confidential and you can't have it.
Right.
Well, you're trying to hide something. Yes, I am.
Right.
Yeah, I said it's confidential and it's in this ministry and it is none of your business.
Right.
And you're not going to get it. And I said, you can subpoena me and send me to jail. I preach in jails, and I have a prison ministry, and I'll gladly go to jail to protect that information. Well, Creflo called. He had a mole in there. There was no one getting all that. And he said, brother, he said, you shook him up when you said that. Anyway, I was praying in the Spirit. I said, Lord, help me. Show me now what to do. And it rose up on the inside of me, just exactly the wisdom to put a stop to this. We'd already spent a little over $1 million on this thing. And so I'm talking about the ministry. And so I called John. I said, John, here's the plan. Take our cameras, our television cameras, and the young man that used to be on our staff that was now with CBS mm-hmm. in the news department. Call him. Go over to Dallas at the headquarters of the tax people, the revenue people.
Yeah, IRS.
And ask the director to come out on the front steps, which he did, and John did, and they had the cameras there. And John held all of that information up. He said, Senator, here is all the information for which you ask. And we invite you. Now, it's not called an audit with the church. It's a church inquiry. We invite you to make inquiry of the church any day of the week that you desire. You can come to this address and we'll sit down with you and we'll talk about this, but here is everything you ask for. Hmm. John did that. It was over. the tax man over there said, oh, we know you people. You didn't. He said, I don't know what that senator's trying to get into our business anyway.
You did what Jesus did when he was on trial. He listened to the advocate. Let me show you a verse here in Mark 14.
Oh, let me say something here.
Yeah.
I never did hold that in any way against Charles Grassley.
Of course not.
Because he got put under a stick he couldn't get out from under. And just absolutely in no way. Charles Grassley is a good man. He's
sure.
a Christian man. And a good senator. But I just want to make it clear that sure. in no way did I have any.
And you know what? I respect him that he didn't show partiality.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Christian man. He couldn't do that.
Right.
And anyway, go ahead. Listen
to Jesus in the trial, of his trial. Mark 14, verse 60 through 62. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? In other words, he's been quiet. The Holy Spirit was telling him, his advocate was saying, be quiet here.
Yes.
Don't say anything here. Let this just ride. What is it, these witnesses against thee? But he held his peace, answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said to him, art thou the Christ? He has to answer now.
Yeah.
Because he can't deny who he is.
Right.
Art thou the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power.
Whew. Boy, he nailed him, didn't he?
Word. That's the word he used. He chose. He didn't say the right hand of God. He said the right hand of power. And coming in the clouds of heaven. That's Revelation 10.
Now, he had already said, he said, it's the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. Mm-hmm. He'd already said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do.
Yes.
So he could not open his mouth.
That's right.
Because of the Father.
So he's got the fullness of the Holy Spirit in him, and he's walking in delegated power. He knew how to honor that power as well. There were times he would pull away from people just to get a recharge, just to get some information on this power
yes.
and what he was supposed to do. And then he'd come back. And when he'd come back, he'd come back. Every time. Every time you see Jesus pull away, when he came back, whew, it was full power because he's recharged this power. So he said, you will see the Son of Man, interesting phrase, mm-hmm. at the right hand of power. That's exactly where Adam started.
Yes, it is.
The first Son of Man, the first man was breathed by power, by the Spirit, with God, in the garden with him.
And his name was Blood.
Yes, sir. And now when that blood is shed for the first time, and this is another word for power that we haven't discussed yet, when it says that the ground is crying out to me over the bloods, plural. It wasn't just the blood of Abel. It was all what would have been all of Abel's descendants in line was crying out as well. This is why abortion is such a horrible thing.
Yes, it is. It
needs to be stopped immediately. But that is part of who we are. We are not like the animals. We're different. We're created in a different class.
Yes.
And we're carriers of delegated power of the Most High at the right hand of the Father. Mm-hmm. Jesus gave his authority back to us. He didn't say, now you guys messed this up the first time, so I'm only going to give you a little bit. No, he gave full authority over the heavens and the earth and everything that creeps on the earth and all that back to this man. That's you and I.
Thank you.
That's
Lord,
the power
Jesus.
We walk in.
Yes, it
and
is.
It's delegated power. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So we can do Acts 10:38.
Yes.
And went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He expects us to do that.
He expects us to.
Greater works shall you do because I go to my Father.
And we're out of time.
We're out of time.
We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you done with tolerating defeat in your life? Here's the good news. You can live free from all the baggage of the enemy. You can even demolish burdens in the lives of those around you. How? Through the power of God's anointing. In the audio series, The Power of the Anointing, Kenneth Copeland guides you through Scripture to reveal the truth about the anointing and what it can do for you. You will learn exactly what the anointing is, the benefits that the anointing holds, and how to use the power of the anointing. This anointing carries all the power and benefits that Jesus came to deliver: joy, healing, freedom, eternal life. You can do all things through the anointing. Imagine dominating hurdles in your life and achieving success, and having the same type of impact that Jesus did in lives and circumstances everywhere you go. Freedom and success are all wrapped up in the anointing, which is Christ in you. You can live victoriously in every area of your life. Let God's burden-removing, yoke-destroying power completely set you free. Request your free audio series, The Power of the Anointing, by Kenneth Copeland on kcm.org/victory offer, or when you call 877-615-4267. This offer is good for 60 days. Outside the U.S., shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Now you know why it's so important to get the study notes. Praise God. I mean, you'll have all of these to study as we have studied. Praise God. Can you see and understand why it is so important to study this book? It has the answer to everything. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, remember this: God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Watch the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast free on kcm.org or KCM's Roku channel. If you would like a free copy of the broadcast to put into your faith library, you can download it on kcm.org/victory offer or request it on DVD or CD. Keep your heart full of the Word of God and continue to grow in faith. Every believer has a voice, and it is the voice of victory.
This year, experience wide open faith at the Southwest Believers Convention, right here in the beautiful city of Fort Worth in the great state of Texas.
You tend to yourself and you show love and you show compassion and you walk strong and you walk right, because power follows that. Power follows holiness. Power follows righteousness. Power follows it. The power to deliver. The power to stand healed and whole and well. The power to have plenty. The power to be supplied. The power to snatch people out of hell follows a church that is separated unto Him. We are supposed to be praying, and I'm not supposed to be preaching, but I cannot help myself.
This year, experience wide open faith at the Southwest Believers Convention. So come get a taste of Texas and save the date for August 1st through the 6th for the Southwest Believers Convention. Register today at kcm.org/southwest.
Hallelujah.